Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present the Challenge of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
And King, on, Husky!
Gold, gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the Challenge of the Yukon. Guess what these sounds mean.
Ah.
Mmm.
Oh, boy.
Sure, they mean that something tastes extra good. Like a heaping bowl of Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat topped with good, thick yellow cream and fruit. It's a breakfast deluxe. Taste it. Every spoonful of those king-size grains of wheat or rice is mouth-watering good. So crisp, so nut-like in flavor, so extra delicious, all covered with velvety, smooth, rich cream. Don't wait. Enjoy this deluxe treat tomorrow morning. Just reach for the big red and blue package of delicious Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. Never sold in bags or bulk. Sergeant Preston was catching up with his paperwork at the Northwest Mounted Headquarters one evening, and King took the occasion to make a tour of the town and say hello to his old friends. He was on his way home from Mrs. Griggs' bakery when he saw a girl standing in the open doorway of a cabin. She was looking past him at two men who were lounging in the shadows down the street. The girl was afraid.
It's Bartok. I'm sure he is. Try to run, he'll shoot.
The girl's name was Joan Manning. King knew her well. He trotted over to her and licked her hand, trying to reassure her and offering his sympathy.
King, maybe you can help me. Come inside, just for a minute. Come on, boy.
As soon as the door was closed, the girl untied a handkerchief, and from it she took a necklace. A necklace of perfectly matching diamonds.
See? This is what they're after, King. I try to get away with it, they'll stop me. They won't try to stop you, King. They'd never suspect it. Here, let me see if it'll fit around your neck.
The girl undid the clasp and fitted the necklace around King's neck.
There. It's perfect. And your collar hides it completely. Go on, King. Go on home. You don't have to worry about me anymore. I'm all right now. Go on, King.
King trotted down the street and stopped close to the men who were still standing in the shadows. One of the men picked up a rock and threw it at him.
Get out of here!
King dodged the rock and continued on his way. Later that night, when the sergeant turned him into the run with the other members of the team, the necklace beneath his collar made him uncomfortable. He scratched at it vigorously. The catch broke and the string of shining stone slipped off his neck. King sniffed at the necklace and then buried it in the snow. Afterwards, he made a comfortable burrow for himself and went to sleep. The following morning, he was with his master when young Tex Cameron came bursting into the Northwest Mounted Headquarters.
Oh, hello, Tex. Isn't this the middle of the night for you?
Why, shucks, no. It's 11 o'clock. I've been up for half an hour. Howdy, King.
You seem to be in a hurry.
I am. I suspect foul play.
That's all.
The sweetest little girl in Dawson, Sergeant. Joan Manning, who sings at the Eldorado. She's got a voice like an angel, better than Jenny Lynn's.
I've heard Joan sing. What about her?
She's gone.
Well, that's too bad, but Joan's father's working his claim on Wishbone Creek. She may have gone up there to pay him a visit.
She wouldn't have gone without telling me.
Huh?
I promised I'd drive her the next time she wanted to make the trip. You better come and take a look at her cabin, Sergeant.
No, it takes. As soon as I get into my parka.
You see, there's a lot more to it than just her being missing.
Well, suppose you explain. Come on, Jim.
Joan's just too big-hearted for her own good.
I know, Joan. Let's have some facts.
Well, there's this young count Pierre and I got living with us.
A count?
Yeah, a real one. Count Alex Valadimar or something like that. He's Russian. They chased him all the way across Siberia because he told the Tsar he should run things more like we do in Texas.
I see.
Now, next time there's a strike, Pierre and I are going to take him along with us and show him how to stake a claim and pan gold.
What does he have to do with Joan?
I'm coming to that. The count had to leave Russia in a hurry, see? And his ma slipped him what money she had in a poke along with some gewgaws she figured he could pawn to help meet expenses.
Such as?
All he's got left is a string of beads.
Beads?
Diamonds. This may surprise you, Sergeant, but they're worth as much as a good claim on the Bonanza.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, it's those beads that are making trouble. There's a couple of other Russians in town who know the count, and they know he's got the beads. They're after them, and they're after the count.
Agents of the Tsar?
Nope. Anarchists. They hate the Tsar, and they hate good Democrats like the count, too.
Go on.
Well, one night they ransacked our cabin. They're just lucky that Alex had the beads on him.
Well, why didn't you come to me then?
Well, nothing to go on, nothing at all. But me and Alex and Pierre had supper with Joan that night, and she said, why don't we leave the beads with her? Well, we did.
That all?
Her cabin's in this block. You take a look at it. See what you think then.
Is there any way the Count's enemies could have found out that Joan had the diamonds?
Well, I don't see how, but they must have, Sergeant. Here we are.
Bonjour, Sergeant.
Well, hello, Pierre.
Well, this is Alex, Sergeant. Count, this is Sergeant Preston.
Hello, Alex.
A great honor, Sergeant.
Just take a look at this place.
It's a wreck. They have turned over everything.
The diamonds aren't here.
Mais non.
But it is not the diamonds that matter, Sergeant. Their only value to me is that I might sell them and help Joan to a great career. With the proper training, she will be another party. It is she who matters.
Oui. She's the girl I love.
She's the girl I'm going to marry, Bo.
Mm-hmm. Bo. He called me that because in French it means handsome, Sergeant.
Oh. In Texas, it means hobo.
Oh.
Joan likes me more than both of you. And any time
you can argue about that after we find her. What about these two Russians, these enemies of yours, Alex? Names, descriptions, everything you can tell me.
One is called Bartok. The only name I know for the other is Yatki. It's the name of a place.
Where do they live?
The palace. Oh, but I meant to tell you, Sergeant, I stopped there on the way to headquarters. They've left.
When?
Yesterday afternoon.
When did you last see Joan?
4:00.
Huh? I saw her at 5:00.
Why, you know a count.
I saw her at 6:00.
What number did you...
You saw her here, Alex?
That is correct. It was what you call a night off at the cafe. She was going to read and go to bed early.
All right, let's have a description of Bartok and Yatki.
They both wear beards. Bartok's is trim short. He has a face like a hawk's, very sharp eyes. Yatki is huge, an animal.
Well, that should be enough. Now, I take it that all three of you would like to help as much as you can.
Oh, yes,
sure,
sir.
Do not think they have killed her, Sergeant.
There's nothing to indicate that here. I'm going to check all the cafes on Front Street. You take the stores, Alex.
Yes.
Tex, the cabins on the banks of the Klondike.
All right,
Shantytown, Pierre.
Oui.
Any information you can get about Bartok or Yatki will help. We'll meet back at headquarters in 2 hours. Let's go.
But when Tex, Pierre, and Alex reported to the sergeant 2 hours later, they had very little information.
Tex?
Nobody saw him drive up the Klondike last night.
And they did not go south on the Yukon.
The day before yesterday, they buy supplies at Colby's store.
And the same day, they bought a dog team and a sled from Richards.
Sergeant, you don't think there's any doubt they've taken Joan prisoner?
No.
Is there not something we can do?
Well, this much is being done. Word's been sent to both 40 Mile and White Pass to stop Bartok and Yatki if they try to cross the border. Also, the whole story is being carried on the front page of the Klondike Nugget. That'll be on its way to all the mining camps this afternoon. Every man on the creeks will be on the alert by tomorrow.
But I cannot help but be afraid. Joan had the necklace, and Bartok and Yatki must have taken it from her. Afterwards, to keep her from going to the police, why... Sergeant, a human life means nothing to such beasts. I'm afraid that Joan has been killed.
At that moment, however, Joan was still alive. She was bound hand and foot, and lying on the floor of a cabin at the top of Windward Pass. Bartok sat on a bench facing her, and the brutal Yatki stood by his side.
Are you hungry, John?
You know I am.
And a little thirsty, perhaps.
Yes.
There is food and drink on the table. All you have to do is be sensible.
You can't make me tell you anything.
Oh, what did you do with the necklace? Why do you try to save it for a worthless aristocrat?
Hmm? He's worth 1,000 of your kind.
Oh, you're a fool, deluded by a handsome face. Tell me, what right does he have to those diamonds?
They belong to him.
But why, by what right?
By what right should they belong to you?
I will use them for a great purpose.
For murder and destruction. That's your only purpose.
A means to an end. The glorious world revolution.
A revolution to make you and your kind king.
You are a stupid bourgeoisie. There is no point in arguing with you. Yatke the arm.
No, please don't.
Yatke. A steady pressure, if you please.
I know.
You're in pain, perhaps.
No. Hmm? Don't, I'll tell you.
Good. Good. Release her, Yatke. Now, quickly, what did you do with the necklace?
You saw me get rid of it.
When?
When you were waiting down the street.
There was no way you could have.
That dog. The big silver gray one that belongs to Sergeant Preston. I put it around his neck.
You lie. He passed us. I saw no diamonds.
His collar hid them.
And he still has them?
I don't know.
Why not? Hidden by the collar, who would notice them? It is a job for you, Yatke. It takes no great brain to shoot a dog.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Man, oh man, here's a breakfast treat.
It's got 'em all beat.
It's Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat.
These famous ready-to-serve breakfast cereals are shut from guns.
Yes, Quaker Puffed Wheat
and Quaker Puffed Rice
are choice premium wheat or rice grains shot from guns.
They're giant size, king size, colossal. They're actually exploded up, up, up to 8 times normal size.
That makes them bigger and better tasting.
Yes, that's what makes Wheato Rice shot from guns so crisp and tender. They're shot through and through with bang-up nut-like flavor, too.
Even more important, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice are nourishing.
Yes, both delicious kinds furnish extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
They're quick and easy to fix for breakfast, lunch, supper, or tween meal snack.
Just pour them out from those big Quaker red and blue packages. Add milk or cream, top with your favorite fruit.
And there you have it. A nutritious, economical, deluxe taste treat.
Buy both delicious kinds. For variety, eat Quaker Puffed Wheat one time, Quaker Puffed Rice the next.
Just remember, they're never sold in bags or bulk.
To get the original, crisp, fresh wheat or rice shot from guns, always look for the smiling Quaker man on the front of each big red and blue package.
He's your guarantee that you're getting the one and only delicious Quaker Puffed Rice,
Quaker Puffed Wheat.
Now to continue. After Joan told Bartok that she had fastened the necklace around King's neck, Bartok ordered Yatke back to Dawson, but the big Russian objected.
Bartok, why should it be me?
Because I said so. When the sergeant works at night, the dog goes up and down the streets as if he were making a police patrol. Yatke, you will go no farther than the edge of town. The bridge across the Klondike. You will wait there.
What if the sergeant has locked the dog up? Might have waited there all night?
Most of it. If you do not see the dog by 4 o'clock, you will go to the round and back of headquarters.
No, Bartok, no.
What danger is there at that time of night? It will not be necessary to shoot, perhaps. A piece of caribou steak in your hand, a quick grasp, and you will have him by the collar. With your strength, you will have no trouble in wrenching the necklace loose.
No.
This is a command, Yatke. Would you have me report that you have been insubordinate?
No.
You will go, then. Take the team.
I hope he will come to the bridge. I will shoot him. It's the best way.
You beast!
Such concern for a dumb animal. It amuses me.
That evening, King sat beside his master's chair in the headquarters office as long as he could stand the heat. Then he trotted to the outside door and scratched on it.
Well, we have this 40 miles,
sure they didn't pass through there. Our best bet's the conduct. Oh, you want to run, boy? All right, go ahead, fella.
King, exalted in a stinging cold, he raced between buildings from Front Street down to the banks of the Yukon. And there he stopped for a moment and howled at the big white moon and the aurora that streaked across the sky and turned the night into day. Then he started investigating the thousand wonderful smells that came from the warehouses along the waterfront. He worked his way upstream to the point where the Klondike joined the Yukon. And it was there he saw the man standing in the shadow of the wooden bridge. There was no one else around.
Here, King.
He called King by name, and he held out a piece of meat in his hand. The scent of the meat was delicious.
Come. This is for you, King.
But King knew the man from the night before. He had been with the other one who had thrown a rock at him. King growled.
So that is the way it is. All right, then.
Great Dog realized the danger in the flash of metal, and before Yatki could level his gun, King was racing for the shelter of the warehouses. The gun spoke, and King felt a searing pain in his flank, but he had rounded the corner of the first warehouse, and he ran on to the sergeant and headquarters. When he reached the door, he scratched at his box.
Well, that wasn't much of a run. What? King, what's the matter?
There's blood on his coat, Sergeant. Beware.
Let me see. Did you cut yourself, boy?
Don't look like no cut to me.
No, not to me. Pierre, the first aid kit in that cabinet. Get it.
Wait. You believe that King has been shot?
It's a bullet wound, Alex.
I didn't hear anything.
The wind's pretty high.
Here you are, Sergeant.
Oh, thanks, Pierre.
I think I'll just take a little stroll outside.
And shoot it out with the first man you find wearing a gun?
Well, what?
You leave it to me. Only take a minute to fix this scratch, and then King will show me where it happened.
We can come along with you, can't we?
If you like. Easy, boy. Won't sting long.
Outside headquarters, the sergeant touched King's bandage and said,
"Show me, boy. Lead the way."
King understood and trotted down Front Street to the bridge over the Klondike. The man had gone, but his tracks were clear in the freshly fallen snow. The sergeant and his companions followed them for a quarter of a mile up the stream. A sled and a team had been left here in the shelter of a tree. From the tree, the sled track swung into the center of the frozen stream, heading east.
Easy trail to follow, Sergeant.
Yes. I'm heading up the Klondike tomorrow morning. There's no reason why I shouldn't do it tonight. Of course, this may have been an accident. I'll find out.
We'll come with you, Sergeant.
I'll have my team harnessed and ready to go in 10 minutes. It'll take you longer than that.
Oh, we don't want to hold you up, Sergeant. You go ahead and we'll catch up.
All right. Come on, King.
From the moment Yatki had missed King, he had been afraid that the dog would put Sergeant Preston on his trail.
Oh, hold up! Oh.
He had driven his team hard, and now, as he stopped for a moment to the entrance to Windward Pass, he was congratulating himself on not being followed. And then, at the far end of the long valley below him, he saw a dog team.
It is hard to tell, but I think... No, I am sure. There's that devil in the leak. It is King.
Rush! Push off! Hold up!
Yatki raced on up the pass to the cabin where Bartok was waiting.
Oh, oh, oh.
Bartok!
You are back sooner than I expected.
I shot at the dog, but I missed. You fool! Now the sergeant is coming after me. He's crossing the valley. He will be here in 15 minutes.
And the dog?
He leads a team.
Good. We will be waiting for them.
We will shoot it out?
Nothing so dangerous. No. Have you noticed the big rock on the slope above the cabin?
Yes.
We will go up there. We will put a charge of blasting powder underneath it. When the sergeant enters the cabin, we will set it off. There will be an avalanche. The cabin, the girl, and the sergeant will be buried.
Murderers!
Put a gag in her mouth.
You watch her.
It will be convenient if the dog escapes. Then we will not have to dig him out.
As the sergeant neared the cabin, he studied it closely.
That's the team we've been following, King.
There was a light inside the cabin, but otherwise no sign of life.
Looking, hurry, Husky. Now we'll find out who took a shot at you, King.
As the sergeant unharnessed King, the great dog looked up the slope behind the cabin. He knew the man they were following was up there, and he tried to tell his master. But at that moment, the sergeant heard some muffled cries from inside the cabin.
That sounds like a girl. Come on, King.
Just as the sergeant entered the cabin, an explosion rocked the ground. A second later, an avalanche was roaring down the slope behind the cabin.
Get out! Get out!
Instinctively, the sergeant ran to the girl, picked her up, and started back for the door. King leaped ahead of him, barking furiously and driving both dog teams away from the front of the cabin. The sergeant was out of the house when the avalanche hit. But a young fir tree, uprooted by the avalanche and now tossed like a matchstick, hit the sergeant and knocked him to the ground. Joan was thrown clear into a snowbank. The sergeant was pinned beneath the upper branches of the tree. Instantly, King was at his side, tugging at the branches. The sergeant lifted the tree, and with his help, King pulled it aside. Then the sergeant tried to rise. A searing pain shot through his leg. He sank back to the ground.
Joan, roll over here. I'll get that gag out of your mouth and cut your ropes.
Sergeant,
I'll
try.
There.
Sergeant, it was Bartok and Yatke who did it. Oh? They blasted a rock up on the slope and started the slide.
Bartok and Yatke, eh? Must have been one of them who shot at King back in town.
Yatke? They're after Alex Diamond. I put them around King's neck last night and... I'll show you. King, come here. Bartok and Yatke were outside my cabin. I wanted to get rid of the necklace, so... But it's gone. You didn't...
No, this is all news to me.
The clasp must have broken... Must have fallen off somewhere. But Bartok and Yatke don't know that. Oh, they'll be coming after us in the diamond.
I see them now. Way up there, coming down the slope. Wonder if they see us.
Oh, that would be hard. We're covered with snow. They probably think we're underneath the avalanche.
Crawl over behind those rocks.
Oh, what about you, your leg?
I guess it's broken, but I can make it if I take it easy. Go on.
All right.
A moment later, the sergeant, King, and Joan were huddled down behind the rocks. Through a small break, they watched Bartok and Yatke descending the slope. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. And then they could hear Bartok's voice.
Got away. Good. There they are over by the wood, but not the gray lead.
No. I thought I saw him by that first tree. Maybe he's underneath it.
Sergeant, if they see us...
Quiet. Bartok and Yatke circled the huge pile of snow and dirt and rocks. As they stepped into the clear... The sergeant shouted,
"Put up your hands!
Sergeant, back in the box! Shoot!"
As Bartok commanded Yatke to shoot, he stepped behind the huge Russian and headed for cover. Yatke backed up in the same direction. The sergeant put a bullet through Yatke's leg, and he dropped to the ground. Bartok had disappeared behind a pile of rocks and snow. Yatke crawled toward him.
Stop him, Sergeant.
Shoot him in the back?
He'd do it to you.
We have an ace in the hole, Joan.
What?
You'll see.
But if Bartok manages to get farther up the slope, find cover there, these rocks won't give us any protection, and you can't move.
I'll have to make sure that Bartok doesn't move. Keep down.
As Tex, Pierre, and Alex entered the pass, they could hear the distant shots. And half a mile farther on, Tex was able to size up the situation.
Ho, ho, ho there, boys. There's the sergeant. Hey, that looks like Joan with him.
It is. That is Bartok and Yatke. You shoot at them.
Well, boys, we'll just leave the dogs here and follow the ridge until we're right behind those polecats. Come on, let's go.
Hurry.
The sergeant was gritting his teeth against the pain in his leg.
Joan.
Yes?
If I should happen to black out, keep on shooting. I thought I heard dogs down the trail a while ago. Maybe I only imagined it, but even so, help will be coming sooner or later.
Really?
Oh, yes, your three suitors. Keep shooting until I get here. Listen.
Oh, those shots came from farther up the slope. Could Bartok...
No, not Bartok. That was a rebel yell if I ever heard one. It's Tex and Pierre and Alex.
And that was the end of the gunfight in the pass. When they realized they were exposed to gunfire from above them, Bartok and Yatke yelled for mercy. That same afternoon, they were in jail. The sergeant, his leg in a splint and propped up on a chair, was playing host to Joan, Tex, Pierre, and Alex.
Well, it turned out all right, Sergeant. But I figure you need somebody to protect you from now on, Joan. So I'm asking you to marry me.
Thank you, Tex. But no.
But of course, it is Pierre you will marry, no?
That's right. It is Pierre I will marry, no. Is that the last proposal I'm going to hear?
Joan, I have no right to ask you. The diamonds are gone. They were all I had.
Couldn't I take their place?
You would... You mean...
Yes, I have witnesses now.
You can't back out of
it. As if I wanted to.
Congratulations, Alex. My best wishes, Joan.
Thank you.
But I'm wondering if the diamonds are really gone. We haven't asked King about it yet.
Oh, the chain must have broken.
Well, we'll see. Come here, King. Collar, King.
The sergeant made a circle around the dog's neck with his hand.
Collar for Joan.
He pointed to the girl.
Fetch, boy.
King looked up into his master's face. The sergeant repeated the process.
Collar for Joan. Fetch.
King turned and ran to the door.
Open it for him, Tex.
Right, Sergeant.
Go on, follow him. See where he goes.
All right.
Leave the door open, Pierre.
Oui, Sergeant.
The run was close to the cabin, and King stopped as soon as he reached the gate. He asked Tex to open it for him.
Could it be in there?
You said collar. Oh, maybe there's an old collar inside the run.
He's digging for something.
What? He has it, whatever it is.
Yahoo! That boy. Go on, King. Take it inside.
Here he comes.
It's almost unbelievable.
Why, it's true. It is the necklace. I can see it sparkle.
Give it to Joan, King.
Oh, thank you, King.
Well, how's that for a wedding present?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Good work, King. Bartok and Yatki are in jail. Now the diamond's safe. This case is closed.
Say, if at breakfast time you're... Yes, hungry as a lion. Well, sir, just you dive into a heaping bowl full of delicious Quaker Puffed rice or Quaker Puffed wheat. Man, oh man, there's a treat that'll tame that hungry as a lion appetite. Make it purr like a kitten. Yes, these ready-to-serve giant grains are shot from guns, are nourishing, crisp, tender, loaded with nut-like flavor. So tomorrow, enjoy this breakfast treat. Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. Remember, wheat or rice shot from guns is never sold in bags or bulk. Always look for the big Quaker red and blue package with the smiling Quaker man on the front. That's your guarantee of the original, crisp, fresh Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. Mmm, delicious. Listen Wednesday when Sergeant Preston and Yukon King meet the challenge of the Yukon in the case of the Long Trail.
Yes, it was a long trail that King and I followed when we started after the men who had murdered Bill Taunton. And we reached the end of it during a howling blizzard. The night was pitch black, and somewhere in the darkness, we knew that half a dozen outlaw guns were trained in our direction.
Be sure to hear this exciting adventure Wednesday. These radio dramas, a feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. They are brought to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereals shot from guns. Your best bet for hot breakfast is Quaker Oats. The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. Delicious, nutritious, makes you feel ambitious. The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. Yes, if you want to be a star in sports and school activities, make your hot cereal Quaker Oats, because Quaker Oats helps grow the stars of the future. You get more growth, more endurance from oatmeal than from any other whole grain cereal. Remember, Quaker and Mother's Oats are the same. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.